Diversity Music Group. Alex H. Alex H. The Bomb Factory. Success.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to properly introduce the most incredible beast from the east, live and live in color. NJ fitted to leather and soft butter. Color up, my dollars up, I'm winning exotic cars to women, women and more women. More sinning, I'm resisting to success. Blessed, young and gifted, the bar's been lifting. Started from the bottom, I'm now on top of the world. Look, ma, I made it, no most hated. Underestimated since I haven't been painting. Our stories aren't related, so they don't believe. But who cares, I'ma run a few years before I fade to black. My impact's shift back to order to lyrical manslaughter in the first degree.
One more day to go, though.
Christmas right around the corner. Good morning, all of you, and welcome to another edition of the Green and White Show. Of course, your host here, Joseph Haas. Don't forget, man, join up. Follow me on Twitter at Jersey Haas. You know, you can hit me up on Instagram, IG at Joseph Haas NFL. Now, got to get through my good mornings before I get into it with all of you always. As always, even though it's kind of rainy outside, as I can see through the studio window, but always my sunshine out there. So good morning, sunshine. Good morning, Rosebud. Good morning, all of you, the great fans who listen each and every morning here to the Green and White Show. Some special good mornings going out there. Man, can you believe it? It's been this long. I'm getting so much older. I did the birthday thing, and, you know, you feel it when you're getting to my age. Yep, pushing the big 4-0. I want to send a special shout-out to a whole crew, my super best friends. I'd love to call them as well. Got to reach out, and I love the holidays because you get to run into family and friends, and these are friends that I've always considered family. So a big special shout out to my boy Pez. Yo, D, what's up, homie? Dennis, man, great to hook up with you. And of course, I gotta say what's up to Mandy as well. His queen. What up, Mandy? Can't wait to talk to you and the kids, Zach, Alex, and Jake. I hear Zach is Zach's a big guy there. Played a little tackle this past season and looking to get himself to play a little tackle in the future. So good luck on freshman year. Can't wait to meet you and the rest. Can't forget to say what's up to the homie, Tet. Tet, my man, how you doing? Make sure you say what's up to Sandra for me as well. DJ, Tyler, and Jordan, I hear they're all getting big. So I can't wait to meet all of them. Q, you always the homie, Q dog. So I'm glad I got to say hi to everybody. Can't wait to run into everybody as well. So enough of all that. Enough of me. I know you're all here. You're all chomping at the bit. You can't wait to do it. I can't wait to do it. Are you ready to talk some Jets football, people? Oh, what? Yeah, coming off the Jets getting to play a couple of Saturdays in a row, which is kind of, you know, graceful by the schedule makers. But let's see what the New York Jets can do as the schedule makers have landed them in New England this weekend. This Saturday, they're going to take on the New England Patriots, who, again, another season of AFC East dominance, as predicted here on the show. First and foremost, before I even get into all of this, please excuse me for not even mentioning this at the top. News coming out of the MetLife area. Last night, head coach Todd Bowles not being able to make the trip with the team, ending up being hospitalized for a condition which wasn't exactly made public last night, trying to follow as best I could, but I couldn't really find out what it was that sidelined the head coach. He wasn't able to make the trip. He's in stable condition. It's being said that he may make the trip. So look forward, and we'll see if he does. I personally would just hope he sits back, relax, get a little bit of rest, man. Watch your team go out there and put up a good challenge, put up a good fight. You know, maybe they do the good fight thing for the coach. Outside linebackers, coach Mark Collins, he's going to be taking over the reins there for the head coach and people in the local area. I'm sure they recognize the name Mark Collins as well. So he'll be the coach that'll be taking over kind of activities, game management, I guess you can say, during the football game for the Jets as they take on the Patriots out there in New England. Tom Brady and the boys, New England coming in the news as well. with their acquisition a little earlier in the week, I guess you could say. Michael Floyd getting cut by the Arizona Cardinals after a very sketchy DUI, to be perfectly honest. I know some of you have seen the video. I know I've seen the video. It doesn't look too coherent. Patriots say, hey, you know what? Maybe they didn't do all the due diligence in the world, but they went with their scouting from when they drafted the player. And, you know, they feel that he's lived up to some of the numbers that they projected him to draft-wise. So, of course, they decided to just go ahead and, make the move and grab Tom Brady at deep throw. We talked about it on the show last week, guys. So it's a guy in Tom Brady getting a little bit better. An organization like the New England Patriots, who has taken on a malcontent or two in the past. I mean, you can think of Corey Dillon, ex-Cincinnati Bengal, who pretty much couldn't get run anywhere, ended up getting run in New England and did a good job up there. So, of course, you know, everybody's going to point to Randy Moss and his personality differences as a player, but there was never a problem with him as an athlete on the football field. So, just a couple of examples of malcontents that the New England Patriots were able to just kind of bring in, use them as a great talent, take that year run and really flourish. So, I mean, Michael Floyd is one of those guys. And don't forget, we also told you here on the show that any punishment that Michael Floyd is going to receive from this case isn't going to happen from an NFL standpoint until the case has finished adjudicating itself in the court. So it doesn't look like there's going to be any punishment if there is, and it looks like there's going to be. There's not going to be any punishment this season for him. So looks like New England's free and clear to have him on the roster and make whatever run they feel they're going to make with him. Let's see. Let's see what the Patriots are going to do. Now, they're the kind of organization that go ahead, smooth, everybody's going to be jealous. They have this weapon, and it's successful. So let's take a look, see if it blows up in their face, though he doesn't make too many bad moves. Well, let's see what kind of move this is. So everybody get ready. It's Saturday. Yes, this is Saturday. It's not Sunday. Yes, your ears are not deceiving you. That is me. It is Joseph Haas. It's Jersey Haas on Twitter. And don't forget, Green and White Show always in your ears every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just not this Sunday. We're going to let you guys enjoy the Christmas under the tree and all that good stuff. So we're coming at you on a little Saturday swag thing. I know everybody got a chance to take a look at the New York Giants game. I'm going to touch quickly into that. We're going to get the Mancini report a little later in the program. We're going to get our buddy Reverend Ralph Mancini on here. We'll go Lombardi Ave. We'll go up and down a couple of the games that have already happened, and then we'll get you into the Saturday and the Sunday slate of games. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the Giants game. That was, I mean, you come right out of the shoot, and all you've been hearing all week is bad Eli, bad Eli, bad Eli, which – personally, I know that covering the Jets would love a consistent player under the center like Eli Manning, a guy who doesn't get hurt, a competent football player. You want to go along and call him Heady, call him Heady. We'll call him durable, call him durable. Good deep ball thrower. Look, I'm not going to sit here and bang on Eli, all right? Yeah. Everybody knows what it is. You can always compare him to his brother Peyton. Yeah, he's not Peyton Manning. But you know what? He's a pretty damn good quarterback. And a lot of franchises right now would trade their situation for an Eli Manning any day. So he goes out there, throws three picks against Philly. Not a great game as far as he's concerned. And he's already said he'd love to take the game back. Just a pitiful performance in a game where Eagles jump out to a 14-0 lead. And just think about it. They win the game. They score 24 points in the game, which means they jump out to that 14-point lead, and the defense only gives up 10 points the rest of the game. So where's that offense, okay? Where's that high-octane, high-powered, three-wide offense that should have been that should have shown you more, should have been able to go up and down the field a little bit? Malcolm Jenkins, he had Eli's number with two of those INTs. And Eli, you didn't look good. You look a lot like Matthew Stafford did last year. A lot of targeting one guy, a lot of throwing to one guy. I thought you sputtered around a little bit more last year, or at least attempted to last year. Now it just seems like, or maybe it just seems like it's Odell Beckham Jr. a bust. Now he's getting more targets. You're seeing a drop or two here. The drop is becoming an every game thing now. You'll get that, you know, one drop, two drops. You got to admit, the guy's getting targeted 15, 16, 17 times a game. He's catching 10 of those balls. You know, he's fighting and fighting for a couple more. He's gonna get a drop. He's human. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and bang on, oh, tell Beckham Jr. for a drop or two, especially since he seems to basically be the offense as far as Eli Manning and the Giants are concerned. This team is going to go as far as their running game is going to take them. It's classic NFL football. Basically, it's classic football. As far as your running game is going to go, that's as far as your team's going to go, all right? You start up front, and it's classic. You can give me all the skilled players you want on the outside, okay? Give me the fastest guy on one side, give me the fastest guy on the other, and oh, wow, you just lined up another fast guy right next to me here at quarterback. But if I don't have the 2 seconds to get rid of the football to get it to these guys, what's the point? So I need myself some good up front help. I need myself an offensive line. I know the Jets are sitting there thinking, the Jets? Who are going to start one starter on their offensive line this Saturday. So, Petty, all the power to you, my man. I hope you brought your running shoes, okay, because you're going to be doing some scrambling. But you start up front. You start with a powerful offensive line. Look at the Dallas Cowboys and the success they've had, okay? It's no coincidence that Ezekiel Elliott is able to run for as many yards as he's running for and that Dak Prescott is able to run the offense, you know, short yardage, a little conservative, you know, they take a shot every now and then. But there's a reason they're able to run that offense as rookies. It's because they've got a stout brick wall for an offensive line in front of them. And they get that extra second or two. It's valuable. Okay? Look at quarterbacks who give you an extra second or two in the pocket. Look at one of my, you know, some people don't like him, some people love him. I've always been a fan of Big Ben Roethlisberger, all right? So as you watch the Steelers, you wonder why the Steelers are always competitive. Why? Big Ben gives them every chance to win, and the team focuses on grinders up front and making sure Big Ben's got himself some sort of running game, all right? And because he's always got some sort of running game, he's always able to long ball. He's always able to throw the ball deep. Let's not forget, man, that dude can stand in the pocket. That dude can stand in the pocket with any of them and sling them. So only really knock on Big Ben, to be honest, is that he finds a way to get injured every season, and it's his style. The guy stands up there and takes hit after hit. He plays the Bengals two games a year. I mean, what do you want him to do? You know, he's got the Ravens he's got to play. So Big Ben does always find a way to end up on the injury report, you know, one season or another. And that's the only comparison anybody should make with him and Eli. I know that Eli's got his two rings and his MVPs, but if you're stacking them up, if you're putting them 1-2, I'm going Big Ben, and then I'm going Eli. But y'all know I've had that discussion here on the show, Green and White Show, Joseph Haas, which you don't forget, follow on Twitter at Jersey Haas, and on Instagram, Joseph Haas NFL. All right, a couple minutes before we get our good buddy Reverend Ralph in here, wanted to get a couple more in on the New York Giants, if I could. Their special teamer, Harris. That's a guy who, Devin Harris, is a definite game changer. Now, didn't get picked to the Pro Bowl as the special team returner, but he's going to be in the special teams unit. I'm always talking about the Jets needing to accentuate the third part, the third phase of their football team. If you feel deficient in an area, why not solidify yourself a little bit more in other areas? The Jets were always, you know, defense was the best unit out of the three the past few years. Aggressive on defense. They were sure tacklers, able to keep people from getting in the end zone. Good on defense. Very solid on defense. I've been calling them the perfect swarm for so long. But like I said, the eye of that storm is now wearing blue. Damon Harrison. What? How do you do this to this guy? A couple of years in a row now. There's no way Snacks shouldn't have been voted on in the Pro Bowl. And for him to have to sit there and go through that again, I mean, come on. This was supposed to be the get-right season. Yeah, I was supposed to get it right when it came to Snacks. Damon Harrison deserved to be voted on to the Pro Bowl. We needed to be celebrating the accomplishment of the young man who went from undrafted rookie to coveted free agent, a big money free agent, And he's never really lost a lot of that personality, that humbleness that made him one of my favorite players to follow on Twitter. Look, I follow a bunch of them out there. I don't interact with everybody. I interact with Big Dame. All right, he's really cool to chat with. You know, you go back and forth with him. Really, just humble guy, really nice guy. And man, I was crushed. Like I felt that when I didn't see him get selected to the Pro Bowl. And you know, he could have been bitter. You know, a couple of years could have been real bitter. And instead, you know, he puts out a nice little tweet, takes it in stride, and says, "I guess I haven't. You know, I guess I still got something to prove out there to some people." So that's the kind of guy you want on your football team. And you look at the Jets now, and we don't want to talk about maybe this position group or that position group. I say you look at missing snacks. You look at not having snacks on that team, and it's big. Not just, no pun intended, obviously. It's big, not just on the football field game, but obviously in the locker room as well. Guy's presence, he was a personality on that team, and the defensive line has been one of the units kind of in question this season. People wondering about Mo Wilkerson's effort, if he's gotten paid and now is fat and happy, as some would like to say. Sheldon Richardson, what's going to be his future here with the Jets? A lot of, you know, whether it's the personality differences or, you know, this thing, this happening or something off the field with Sheldon, it's been a rocky one. I don't expect him to be back. Big Cat Williams, what a find, and proving to everybody each and every game that he was a selection to take up there at the top of the draft. So always a position group in flux here, the front line, but also just in terms of putting on a good show. It's not just about moving the quarterback off the spot like it used to now. These Jets have to go and sack. They've got to sack. They've got to get to the quarterback. They've got to put him on his back. They've got to give their team the best chance to win. And they've got to be like they're the only unit to do it. All right, they're not getting help from the special teams and the offense. They're under construction. They've got to hang that sign up. Well, enough of me. Let's get our buddy Reverend Ralph Mancini up on the line as well. Let's get the Mancini report started. I know he's got a lot to say about the Packers. I know we're going to get in on the Jets. We'll touch on the rest of the NFL as well. Reverend Ralph Mancini, on a Christmas Eve. Ho, ho, ho. How's it going, my man?
Hey, season's greetings. How's it going?
Season's greetings it is. Hey, man, we both celebrated birthdays this week. So happy birthday, Reverend Ralph.
To you as well, my man.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does one – I mean, you know, I've got a lot of friends, but I've never really shopped for a reverend before. So what does a reverend expect on his birthday?
Oh, man. You know, I don't look for a lot, just a lot of good food, you know, maybe a nice bottle of wine. That's all. I'm a simple guy. I don't ask for a lot.
Okay, communion wafers and wine all the way around.
That's right.
You had to leave me up in that. A good friend, Reverend Ralph, always dealing with my corny humor early in the morning. All right, let's get to your guys before we go all around the league. Green and White Show, Reverend Ralph Mancini joining us here on the program. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Reverend Ralph. Rev, man, those Packers, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he put the feet to the fire. He kind of, you know, called out his entire team a few weeks ago, said, you know what, we can really run the table. We have an opportunity to put ourselves right back in this playoff situation. The Packers have done so since he's opened his big mouth. He's put his football where his mouth is. He's throwing touchdowns. He's looking a whole lot like the old Aaron Rodgers. We almost sprained his knee a couple weeks ago. Your thoughts on the, I guess you can call them the new look Green Bay Packers, and if they are going to make themselves a playoff run, look out Detroit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the key has been the fact that, you know, they finally settled upon, you know, a running back that could lead them, you know, that they could rely on. As I mentioned last week with Ty Montgomery, I mean, each and every week this guy just looks better, looks more comfortable, running with patience, but running with power too, and that's something that you would not expect from a wide receiver. I know he played running back, you know, back in college, back in high school, so he does mm-hmm. have experience. But, you know, from a player who's, you know, maybe about 215 pounds and plays receiver, you would not expect him to make a lot of those tough runs inside, break tackles, play with that physicality that he has been. So that's been a pleasant surprise. The offensive line is healthy, too. Let's not discount that either.
Mm-hmm.
Lane is back into the lineup. He had some health issues weeks ago. And really, you know, Rodgers, you know, as well as he's been playing, he's been getting time in the pocket, you know. So that offensive line needs to get credit as well. The one thing that I want to see is Devontae Adams. I want to see more consistency out of him. Last week,
right,
not one, but two short touchdowns in the end zone.
Oh,
these are passes that were
yeah.
right in his, you know, he's got to make those plays. So that's
got
the
it.
One thing I want to see. But otherwise, look, the defense is what it is. The secondary is
mm-hmm.
not going to get any better. They're going to give up yards in the secondary. So, you know, really, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he needs to do what he's in Montgomery. They need to continue producing because
mm-hmm.
they're not going to shut anybody down with that defense. So that's basically the game plan. And against the Vikings, I would expect them to win this game, win by 10 points or more, just because the Vikings, I mean, that's a team going nowhere right now. And we talked about offensive lines. Well, that offensive line is just in shambles. And you take
yeah.
a look at Sam Bradford. He's just dinking and dunking, but not because he can't throw the ball down the field. It's because he's got no time. You know, he's got no time to stand back there and go through his progressions, make those routes develop downfield. He's got to throw the ball, like, within a second or two and throw a lot of those 1 or 2 yard or 3 yard passes just because there's no protection up front for him. And they're also banged up on defense as well. No Adrian Peterson in the running game. This just, you know, shapes up as another win for the Green Bay Packers. I would say I like the Packers here to win this game comfortably. 27-14 is my score.
Wow. The Rev hits you early in the morning with the score. Green Bay Packers over the Vikings is in sweetly. This team's on a roll. You can see that forward momentum. All right, you got this boulder rolling downhill. I just get out of the Packers' way. They're going to be a team that you do not want to run into in this year's postseason. As far as the offensive line is concerned, don't want to beat a dead horse, but do want to go back to it. This week's game last Thursday night was an example of the offensive line being so key as they focused on Lance Johnson coming back for the Philadelphia Eagles and making his return to tackle after the 10-game suspension, and what an impact he's made on the right side of that offensive line and giving Carson Wentz time versus what Eli had to go through on his shaky offensive line, even though Pugh came back and made a bit of an effort there. It was obviously night and day. Eli not out of time was a big reason why he throws 3 interceptions and looked shaky. Meanwhile, Wentz having the time was the reason why he was able to lead his team back, able to keep his team ahead and win that football game. So moving from the offensive line and moving from the Green Bay Packers, a couple of other teams I want to touch on with you, Ed. Number one, what can you say that hasn't been said about the Dallas Cowboys? We got to tip our caps to them. Congratulations, Dallas Cowboys, number one seed. They've clinched a playoff berth. Didn't think it was going to go this far. You saw them winning 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row, and you just wondered how far, you know, this thing could go. They're both Pro Bowlers now, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott. How far do you think this thing can go, Russ?
That's a good question. I think this team could go all the way. Look, they could win pretty much in any type of environment, whether it's cold weather, whether it's indoors, just because of that running game. The defense is underrated also. You take a look at a player like Sean Lee at linebackers having a tremendous year. And even, you know,
yes.
a couple of the guys on the back end, Byron Jones at safety is very underrated. So, yeah, that look at this guy, David Irving, at defensive end. He's really been stepping
right.
up and stepping it up in recent weeks as well. So, yeah, I think this team has the components to go all the way. The one problem I have And listen, I'll go back a couple of weeks to that game on Sunday night where they lost to the New York Giants. Dak Prescott just could not move the ball in that game. And I didn't see why it was, like, so scandalous to even think about maybe putting Tony Romo in to that game. Look, I mean, if you're going to worry about Dak Prescott being, you know, a little sensitive about, you know, Tony Romo looking over his shoulder, this is Dak Prescott's team, okay? There's no mistake about it. He's the starter, the guy, okay? Tony Romo, we all know he's going to be on another team next year. He's going to be somebody else's starter. But, however, if the Dallas Cowboys find themselves in a situation where they cannot move the ball, and Prescott is going to have games like that. He's a young guy, okay? If he's going to see things that he hasn't seen before, fine. Yeah, I don't see any problem putting Tony Romo into the game in those types of situations. I'm sure, you know, Romo could have helped out. He could have done something against the Giants. Because, you know, Prescott just had one of those games.
Rev, you got people throwing their tablets. You got people pulling over to the side of the road now. You got people tossing their phones. They're like, are you ridiculous? What are you talking about? Dak Prescott has led this team to victory.
I'm not saying
he
should lose his job, but I'm saying
I'm telling you what people are thinking. We can't move the ball.
Mm-hmm. What's the big deal with putting Tony Romo in for a series or two, maybe putting him in for a quarter if the situation calls for it? I don't see any problem with that.
I don't know why the quarterback position,
sacred cows. You can't replace them. No, it's like anybody else on the team. If you're having a bad game, let's try something else. It should be about winning
the
ball game.
They aren't like everybody else on the football team, but right, I agree with you. Coaches should do everything that they can to win a football game, including if they have to at the quarterback position. But we all understand that they are not the same as every other position on the football field. And we understand that when you make a move at the quarterback position, it's the head of the snake, okay? It's a ripple effect.
Yeah, but you're not saying, okay, all right, let's go back to that Giants game, right? Let's say you put Tony Romo in at the end of the fourth quarter. You're not saying, you know, Dak Prescott, you're doing a lousy job. You lost your job. When we're talking about Dak Prescott being replaced, it's not like Brock Osweiler being replaced, okay? Those are two different situations.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, no, I understand. But this is one of those classic 1960s, 70s scenarios where you had the grizzled veteran who used to run the team on the bench. You had the new guy running the team. And then every once in a while when the new guy wouldn't have it that day or was struggling or was tough, then the old guy would come off the bench and you know, show you some of why he was the starting quarterback just a few years ago. And it would be okay. And then the next week, he went right back to what it was. And that's, I know the kind of football you're talking about. But, I mean, we're dealing with a group of millennials who were, you know, if you don't like their selfie, you're in trouble for a while or something. So, like, everybody's got feelings. Everybody needs to be coddled a little bit. I'm not saying that Dak hasn't been stand up the entire time in terms of, you know, how he's handled the situation, how Tony's handled the situation. But, Buffy, what I'm saying is it's sensitive, man, when it comes to the quarterback position, especially the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, one of the most coveted positions in all of sports. Been romanticized and dramatized and all other kind of eyes. Be good now. But you know what I mean in terms of how romanticized it is to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And I know that Tony Romo wants that feeling again. So as we look towards this year, but look towards Tony Romo's future a little bit while we have a couple minutes to chat about it. Where do you see
his future?
I mean, if you could just take a look into the crystal ball.
I think undoubtedly there is going to be a team that is going to pick him up. He's going to be making whatever he's making, you know, which is a lot of money for a quarterback. I think I could definitely see him maybe like a team like the Jets, you know, rolling the dice with the Tony Romo. However, I just think that he's not very durable, obviously. And you're picking up a guy like Tony Romo. Don't count on him too heavily, because again, we saw like back in the preseason. I mean, with one like not even one huge hit. With one hit, this guy's going to go down.
Yeah.
He's going to miss the season. He's had how many back injuries now? How many back injuries could he sustain? Who knows? I think his days are numbered. He might have one good season left, but it's really, you're really taking a gamble with Tony Romo. So, yeah, there's going to be a team out there because there's just not a lot of good quarterbacks out there. So what are you really looking at? I mean, would you rather want Jay Cutler? Would you want Tony Romo? I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, based on pedigree, based on talent, based on his track record, yeah, I'd say
yeah.
Tony Romo is the better quarterback if you're comparing him to Jay Cutler. But, man, it's like, what do you really expect out of Tony Romo then? Can he even give you 16 games? I don't know. If you're going to pick him up, hopefully you'll have a good plan B because, you know, I just at this stage of the game, man, I think, you know, if I were advising Tony Romo, I would say think about your future, man. You know, it's like, again, how many more back injuries can you sustain?
Yeah, he's going to definitely have a future as far as TV is concerned. I love him there. As far as an analyst, I hear he's going to be, you know, they'll slide him right in, kind of give him the A-Rod type treatment. So he's got a lot to not play for, and of course, you know, he's playing for pride out there. Just imagine, man, he sits on that bench and he gets Drew Bledsoe. I mean, he sits there, Dak Prescott goes ahead, wins the Super Bowl, and hands him a ring and says, "Thanks, guy. Thanks for the effort." a little bit more here to go. Reverend Ralph joining us on the program, Green and White. So Joseph Posse, if you follow along on Twitter at Jersey Hosh and at Reverend Ralph Mancini. Revman. There are a lot of great games. There's some games on the slate that I'm just kind of like, oh, I got to watch my San Francisco 49ers one more time against the Seattle Seahawks. Can't wait for that game and my national nightmare to be over. Again, biggest game on the slate so far is going to be Green Bay at Detroit. I need to see how that's for next week. That's going to be actually flex next week, to be perfectly honest. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be the biggest game next week. All Green Bay has to do is win. And you've got yourself this battle for the division where Detroit really looked like they were on the come in terms of going to nail it. First, you got the Vikings. Then you've got Detroit. That division, it's been the entire season. But one team that I think is going to end up impacting not just that race, but the race in the NFC East, the Chicago Bears. You mentioned Jay Cutler, so I want to take us to the Chicago Bears. Their team, who's going to talk about them now? Another year, another losing record. What's going on in Chicago? Because they're one of those franchises where when they're doing good, they're like the New York Giants, they're like the Dallas Cowboys. When they're doing good in the NFL, the NFL is doing good. So when are we going to see the Chicago Bears do good again?
Yeah, well, the Chicago Bears, I give them credit. I mean, they only have, 3 wins all season? And they're still out there. They're still fighting. They're still competing. And now they have Alshon Jeffrey back. So that gives them another weapon in the passing game. Matt Barkley isn't great, but he's good enough, you know, especially a poor defense. He could put up some yards. And the Washington Redskins, man, defensively, they have their share of issues too. So, yeah, I could see the Bears winning today for sure. And the one thing that the Bears do have is a running game with Jordan Howard. I mean, this kid just been terrific, man. I mean, in terms of his size, his power, physicality, but also vision. And you take a look, you know, at his past few games, this guy's broken off some big runs. You know, he's not just a big plotting back 3 yards in a cloud of dust. No, this guy's had some big runs this season, man. So, yeah, with the Bears, it's like I think the most important thing with the Bears is you want to see, is John Fox the guy? Is he the guy you think, you know, could ultimately lead this team into the playoffs and then eventually maybe make him into a Super Bowl contender? You would have to say that at the very least, the team is playing hard for John Fox right now.
Right.
So that's the most important thing right now. And as far as the quarterback position is concerned, look, Matt Barkley isn't a franchise quarterback. But at least you know that, you know, Matt Barkley could be a decent backup playing right
yeah.
now. And you still have Brian Hoyer who's injured, but, you know, once he mm-hmm. comes back, you can make those two guys compete for the number two quarterback position. And you would probably look at the draft, trying to, you know, if you're trying to project who's going to be the number one guy down the road, hey, maybe a guy like DeShone Kizer from Notre Dame could be that man. So, yeah, I would stick with John Fox if I'm the Chicago Bears. He's got a proven track record. Eventually, wherever he goes, teams better. He's, you know, he hasn't proven that he can win a Super Bowl, but he's proven that, you know, he could improve the team. You know, he could rebuild the defense, and, you know, he could be a type of coach that, you know, gets 10 wins and takes your team to the playoffs, and you could be solid with John Fox. So yeah, that's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm looking at for the Chicago Bears, and I definitely think they could win today at home.
I can see them. I can see them being competitive. We were just talking a couple of weeks ago about Washington possibly, you know, challenging for the NFC East, and now we're talking about them not even being able to beat the Bears as we're very close. Week 16 coming close to wrapping up the NFL season. Can you believe it, man? One more week to go, and that's it as far as regular season football is concerned. Sunday, Christmas Day games, we're going to get them. It's going to look like a postseason type Sunday with the 4:30 starts of Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and then the 8:30 with Denver and Kansas City. Should be some great games there, and then Monday night,
oh, yeah,
Detroit at Dallas as well. So I just wanted to make sure before we put a bow on it and wrap up this part of our conversation, wishing the Rev a great 2016 and a happy new year in 2017 as well. It's been an awesome year. Rev, you come on each and every week, drop a lot of knowledge. It's been fun. Always appreciate having you, my man. God bless, and to you and the family as well. Make sure you send everybody my very best. And I know that if you're like me, birthday festivities, they linger a little bit, so mine are going to creep into the weekend just a little bit. I hope yours does the same, man. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, likewise, man. That's the advantage of having the type of birthday that comes about this time of year. You can extend that celebration and make it a week-long affair for sure.
Yeah, I'm still going to – I don't care what anybody says. People will say Happy New Year, and I'll go, hey, it's my birthday. And make sure to say that. Hey, Rev, like I said, man, thanks for the year. We're going to do it again, all right? Much appreciated. Catch you on the flip side.
All right, man. Enjoy the holidays. Thanks a lot.
You got it. You got it, my man. The Reverend Ralph Nancy, who joins us each and every week on the program, Green and White Show, joins us here. Love having him on the program, man. We go back and forth. Love being able to, you know, get in a couple of the teams that we don't get to talk about here in the New York, New Jersey area. You know, we definitely go back and forth on the Packers, and we get a couple other teams in there as well. Talk about putting a bow in 2016. Just caught that one. I was like, wow, that's it. The season's almost over. One more week to go in this crazy NFL. I remember just jumping on here, and it seems always like it was just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how that could somehow manage the schedule and tough out the first four games if they could just, you know, what they could do against Cincinnati. I feel like it was just yesterday. And now we're talking about the Jets wrapping up their season, first New England, and then putting a bow at it against Buffalo. And, wow, just another NFL season bites the dust. Goods, bads, we've all introduced ourselves to Dak Prescott. We all know what a Dak attack is. We all know Zeke likes to eat as well as donate himself to charity on a regular basis. We've learned a lot this season in terms of who good Eli, bad Eli. Eli's first season in the NFL without his big brother. I really thought that he was going to, you know, try to put on a little bit more of a show, really light it up and show people that, you know, hey, I'm a Manning. I'm Eli Manning. I kind of really thought that's where the season was going to go for him. It's kind of sad to see that it didn't go that way for him. What can I say? They did have a lengthy win streak, but the team really had never really put it together offensively in terms of getting the run game and the pass game to really benefit each other. They're really just a vertical passing team with some slants here and there. You know, try to slant Odell Beckham Jr. open and see what you can do from that perspective. So we're looking at that, but let's get into
This is the time of the show where we get into all of the other sports. It's been heavy football the first 40 minutes. Don't worry, I'm going to give the rest of the sports to do. We're going to hit the NBA right now, right on the hardwood. Is there anybody more dominating right now? Anybody playing basketball that's dominating? That's Russell Westbrook. Yeah, there are a couple people putting some stats up there, but another amazing triple-double. What did he have, 40-something, 11-11 last night? I mean, he's putting up ridiculous numbers, video game numbers. Video game numbers. How many consecutive triple-doubles can he have? It looks like it's his mission to average a triple-double this season, and it looks like he's going to get it. Okay, you see the James Hardens of the world who will kind of push here or there with one. You'll get the random triple-double. He's out there every night balling. Now, don't get me wrong. I hear the Russell Westbrook chance when Kevin Durant goes to the line for the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, I think y'all funny. I hear all that, okay? But the Splash Brothers, a special shout-out and congratulations to Draymond Green, who on the birth of his child. Great birthday for his child. There we go. I'll remember you next year, homie. But, you know, we got Dre Green. It's a talented group out there with the Warriors, so I'm not worried about them. They play basketball each and every night, like, just roll out the balls. We'll see who's the best player on the team tonight. And it's a wonderful sight to see. They're passing the ball. Everybody's shooting. Looks like so much fun. And that's what it looks like OKC is, though. It does look like everybody's shooting and everybody's passing the ball and everybody's having fun, even if Westbrook's putting up the numbers. So what was it? What was it about Westbrook and Durant that it just couldn't have been the same thing that it is now with them on different teams? I don't know. I thought that they could have done better together. I really thought in that little 4-year, 5-year run, they could have at least hung one ring up there, or, you know, made the finals, made a competitive finals run or something. But they're both on separate teams, and who knows? We may be seeing them both beat up in the Western Conference Finals. That's going to be an outstanding matchup. Oh, man, talk about the athleticism in basketball right now. You're watching a really good time. You're seeing team ball from teams like the Grizzlies. You're seeing great – hey, I'm going to say team ball when it comes to the Cleveland Cavaliers as well, because even though it is LeBron and the gang, it's not really a one-man show out there in Cleveland. Kyrie Irving is really starting to come on his own. Yeah, maybe I'm late to the Kyrie Irving party. But I've been seriously watching that boy's handle, and he has it on a string. To me, it just seems like it's all highlights of him getting from the three-point line to the basket, where everybody's content to shoot three-point jumpers all day. He still looks like he wants to take it to the hole, get as close to the basket as possible, and his crossover moves, stutter step dribble, he's got it on a string, yo-yoing the ball. So Kyrie Irving getting a little love on the program. LeBron always getting love. I mean, come on now. He's a consummate MVP. There are a lot of young, talented guys out there. I'm seeing a lot of high-flying basketball. The Sixers, the forever project known as the Philadelphia 76ers. If that team shouldn't just change their name to the Philadelphia Under Construction, I have no idea. Green and White Show, your boy Joseph Foss here. You know what it is. Round and third, getting ready to head home pretty soon. But wanted to make sure I jumped on here for the Christmas extras holiday and get on with you guys before the New Year holiday as well. Who knows if we're going to be able to get you for the last week of the NFL season. But you know we'll be strong and ready for the playoffs. It's going to be an outstanding playoff push. You look at the teams that are getting close to not just clinching spots in the playoffs, but who you feel is going to make a great impact. I know, like I said last week, the Chiefs, they never get any mention. I bet you Tony Romo is just hoping to do with his career what an Alex Smith did moving from the 49ers to the Chiefs. I know different circumstances, but still kind of a correlation there. So still more of a comparison there. So let's see if Tony Romo can kind of regain a foothold on his career and kind of Alex Smith himself into, you know, with a new team as Smith has with Kansas City. And yeah, I see him winning a playoff game unless it's against the Patriots. I mean, we all know if it's going to Foxborough, they're pretty much taking it all away. I don't see how they are going to lose. I see a team like, again, I've given a Steelers a couple of mentions on the show. Why? Because, you know, I love me some Big Ben. Number two, I know my homeboy's a Steelers fan, so I want to give show his team a little bit of love as well because they have been. Now, I won't say completely impressive, but I never count that football game out of that football team out of the game. Okay, I know they're capable of putting 30 points on the board, and I know even though the defense has been a little leaky, they're strong, they're stout. They don't look like a defense that's going to quit. When you look at a team that, okay, you may not want to call them a team that has quit, but it's definitely gone south. Okay, no pun intended for the Arizona Birds there. The Cardinals, that season has definitely flown south. I mean, I had this team in the, you know, in my Final Four. I thought Arizona was really going to make an impact. I like the resurgence of the Packers because, of course, I had them in my Final Four, but the Bengals really made me look bad this season. So, Baltimore, next week, have at them. Okay, I hope you finish them off with a bang. I'm really not in the mood for Cincinnati right now, but they're going to play at Houston. Houston's probably going to end up winning that game. That team, and that's just a horrible division. Houston and Indy, Jacksonville. Who's ever going to – I really thought Jacksonville was going to make a – you know, really put their foot, really make an impact on the upcoming season, and they really landed flat on their faces. Blake Bortles, this was supposed to be the turnaround season in terms of going from – a bottom 20 quarterback to a top 20 quarterback, and it really didn't happen this season. Oakland really is the team that made the move. A lot of us thought that Oakland would be a great team this season, a team that was going to be on the come, and sure enough, they did. Now, I'm going to look at a team this year, and I'm going to project them out. We're looking at a team in the New York Giants who may have fooled us a bit with a nice winning streak and a good run. They may even make the postseason with their 10 wins, 11 wins. And who knows, they might even win a playoff game. Is this Giants team, where they're presently constituted, are they really a 10-11 win team when put up against a first-place schedule like they're going to get next season, i.e. the Jets of last season, who put up 10 wins and who had the fan base thinking postseason? And coming into this season against the first-place schedule, the first thing everyone said is, look at that schedule. Well, are Giants fans going to do the same thing? Are they going to look next season and go, look at that schedule. Look at our team. Are they fooling themselves this season? Coming in, we'll have so much. That'll just be one of the questions we talk about this offseason. I'm already getting ready for the second season, as we call it here, getting ready for the offseason. It's going to be post-game time. And it's going to be, what do you call it? It's going to be post regular season into the postseason. I just can't wait to get that playoff excitement going. So without any further ado, let's see if I can get my buddy, the co-host of the show, Nuri Tilak, on the line. Nuri, what's up, homeboy?
Hey, hi, how are you?
Hey, Nuri Tilak. Don't forget, you can always follow him on Twitter at Nuri Tilak. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. What up, homeboy? Good, I'm glad. Got to hang out with you a little bit on the horn here. What's going on?
Yeah. Happy holidays as well to you, to all the listeners out there. Heard you talking about the Giants. a lot to discuss.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay. The alarm didn't do anything, but the minute we started talking about the Giants, someone had to jump on.
I heard it through my sleep.
That was unbelievable. My good buddy, remember, guys, you know, it's always been a two-man show. It's always been Mary there, Joseph Kitt. So please don't forget, my good man, Mary Tiller, going through his – man, it's been a long season. I feel like we're at the end of the season. You're back.
Yeah.
You're on break. Give people a couple of minutes before we talk about the Giants. Just let everybody know, you know, what's been going on with the boy. Come on, let everybody know what's been going on with the Block Talk boy.
Yeah, I've been at a boarding school for this year. And so that's why it's been really a lot on my schedule to, you know, be able to make these shows, Haas. But, you know, I've been on break for like a week, or I'll be on break for like 2 weeks. I've been on break for like a couple of days now. So I can actually, you know, get up and not worry about school, you know. So, yeah, it's been good, though. I'm enjoying the experience.
Yeah, I know. It's nice to hear the alarm going, just hot, they'll be all right. as opposed to it being demerits or contention or something like that. Green and White Show, the boys are back in town. I'm Mary Tillich there. Follow him on Twitter, at Mary Tillich. Joseph Haas here. Follow me on Twitter at Jersey Haas. We were getting into a little bit of the Giants. I was talking about their offensive line, talking about them in general. Amir, I got to get your thoughts on their game against the Eagles.
Yeah, it was a tough one to watch. I don't think any Giants fan out there is. I'm sure there are, but I hope that Giants fans out there aren't disillusioned, by this team. I think that there are major issues that need to be sorted out before this team can contend seriously in the postseason. And I think one of those issues is the offense. It's just disappointing, I guess, to see a result like that. But at the same time, it's confirmation that we can't begin to, like I said, disillusion the reality. So it's like it's a wake up call, really. And I think that's crucial. Still have a chance to get to the postseason, but this wake up call is important to kind of, I think, put a new light on the rest of the schedule.
Now, I think the part of that really got to you was me talking about the future of the New York Giants and kind of comparing them with what we're watching now with the Jets. I'm kind of just kind of looking into the crystal ball, looking ahead. Amir, you know, that's what we do on this show here. You know, we try not to stay stale, try not to follow pop media, you know, try to go a little bit ahead of the game and thinking ahead of the game a little bit, just talking about, will we see a Giants team next season like we're seeing a Jets team this season? This Jets team came off a 10-win season a season ago. Could have been in the playoffs, you know, granted one game, but was a push. Got the fan base interested. Got the fan base excited, looking towards the next season. Off of a last-place schedule. Again, the Giants. Off of a weaker schedule than they'll get next season when they get a first-place schedule. So now, are the Giants going to be what the Jets are this season and give you a 4-5-win performance with a first-place schedule? Because like you just said, and like we all have seen with our own eyes, even though they've had a very good win streak, they're deficient areas, and it's glaring.
I hope that's not the road that this team begins to go down. If we're talking about a repeat of the Jets this year, next year for New York, I think it's a little more reasonable than I would like to admit, though. Partially because I'm a little unsure, I guess that's the best word, about Eli Manning. Huh? So, I mean, I'm just gonna be real. I think Eli Manning has been with this team obviously for too many years to count, and I think that he still has a lot more, I think, in the engine, but I'm just not confident that this team has a well thought out backup plan or well thought out next influx of talent that can begin to take the reins from the Elis. And I do think, though, that there are some young pieces that they've begun to develop on the defense, as well as a couple on the offense, obviously. You know, the receiver tandem, Shepard and OG. You see guys like Victor Cruz out there and Beckham, and I think those are the young talent that the Giants need to keep, as well as on the defense. Eli Apple, who has showed a lot of people taking them by surprise this year. I think that there are some pieces that the Giants undoubtedly can build around and use as the cornerstone of the next couple of years, which I don't know if the Jets necessarily had and were able to maintain over these last few years of this transitionary period. But I think for the New York Giants, my question is with the offense, and I think a lot of that is predicated on the talent that they have on the offensive line and the quality of Eli Manning. And I think Eli still has, like I said, things in him to get to that elite level that we want our quarterbacks all to be at. But how long can he do it for us?
Yeah, so you're saying it's still a little tread left on the tire, a little gas left in the tank there for Eli.
Right.
Not ready to throw him out with the bathwater just yet.
Well, yeah, I mean, how would you assess this year for Eli? I think he's had ups and downs, but I think for the most part he's played well.
Ups and downs, to say the very least. I think it's been his consistency, which, on the offensive side of the ball, a lot of it isn't his fault because he's had to run around behind that shaky offensive line. But again, you're going to look at the quarterback. The buck stops with the quarterback.
And, you know, if the team was doing well, we'd be praising Eli right now and talking about a completion percentage and talking about his accuracy, his durability, and him being under center every snap. So, you know, the team isn't doing well. We're going to have to look at the head of the snake, and we're going to have to look at the quarterback. You can't throw three picks. You can't start a game off with a pick six and expect your defense to pick you up every week. You know, you just can't. No matter how many wins the other team has, they're out there to play football too in their home ball field and also their division rival. Can't start out that way. Eli, it's been a tough season, and the criticism, if they don't make the postseason this season, man, you thought Todd Bowles was getting criticized. Eli's going to hear it. Speaking of which, let's get back to how we started the show, and Mary just wanted to send, you know, some love and a special shout-out there to head coach Todd Bowles, hoping that he's, you know, recovering. He's in stable condition, rushed to the hospital yesterday. During the day, we're all hoping he's fine. He didn't make the initial trip with the team as they're out in New England, so we'll be following that and getting you updates again on that. As when we come back to the show, which we're probably going to end up taking next week off because, you know, New Year's and everything else going on and partying and all that good stuff, and, you know, everybody just wants a little vacation. You want to enjoy the vacation. Right. I want to enjoy the vacation. But who knows? Who knows? The feeling may strike. So
yep.
Follow us on Twitter. Remember, you follow your boy.
Keep it live.
Amiri, at Amiri Tillich on Twitter. Make sure you follow myself as well, at Jersey House on Twitter. Amiri, it's been another outstanding year, my man. 2016.
In the
first. Who can you believe it? That's it.
We're done.
It's a wrap. I'm going to say God bless. I'm going to say, oh, Jack, turn us up. Bye-bye, 2016.
Yep.
Take us home.
Take us home.
Diversity Music Group. Alex H. The Bomb Factory.
Hey, man, thanks for jumping on. You're the man, dude.
Best.
Happy holidays
to
your family.
Enjoy the holidays, man.
What is this?
Beats from the east, live and live in color. NJ fitted to leather and soft butter. Color up, my dollars up. I'm winning exotic cars and women and more women. More sinning, I'm addicted to success. Blessed, young and gifted, the bar's been lifting. Started from the bottom, I'm now on top of the world. Look, my, I made it, the new most hated. Underestimated since I haven't been painting. Our stories aren't related, so they don't believe. But who cares, I'ma run a few years before I fade to black. My impact, shift back to order to lyrical manslaughter. In the first degree, I am young, fresh.
Everybody who enjoys the Green and White Show each and every week, we are...